Welcome to Beyond the Stethoscope, Vital Conversations with SHP. On today's episode, we're joined by Congressman Earl Buddy Carter for the 1st District of Georgia. Congressman Carter has been in office since 2015 and serves on the Energy and Commerce and the Budget Committees of the House of Representatives. He is also a pharmacist and for many years was the lone pharmacist in Congress. Today, he sits down to discuss with us many of the issues facing our country's healthcare. Are you ready for this vital conversation? Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to Beyond the Stethoscope, Vital Conversations with SHP. I'm Jason Crosby, and I'm joined today by my partner in crime, Aaron Higgins. Tell you what, today we have a special guest, U.S. Congressman from our very own Georgia's 1st District, Representative Earl Buddy Carter, known as Buddy in our area. Congressman Carter, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank y'all for having me. I'm excited about being here.
Fantastic. Thanks again. We know you got a busy schedule, so we appreciate your time. Tell you what, so we have some great questions. We want to jump right into the conversation. Tell you what, if you wouldn't mind, start off by telling everyone a little bit about yourself, your healthcare background, which is unique up there in D.C., and your time and responsibilities as a U.S. Congressman.
Well, first of all, I was born and raised in West Chatham County, specifically in Port Wentworth. Went off to school and came back and settled in Pooler, and I've been in Pooler since 1980. So I've seen a lot of change in Pooler, and it continues to just improve thanks to the good work of the mayor and council there in Pooler, and they continue to do a great job. I had the opportunity to serve as mayor of the city of Pooler and also served in the state legislature, and now I serve in Congress. But professionally, I'm a pharmacist, and for many years, I was the only pharmacist in Congress. In fact, one of my colleagues had given me the hashtag OPIC to mean only pharmacist in Congress. Well, a couple of years ago, we got another pharmacist in Congress, Diana Harshbarger from Tennessee, and she's a rising star doing a great job. But my colleague told me, he said, well, you can continue to use the hashtag OPIC, but now it means oldest pharmacist in Congress. So I guess I'll have to go along with that. You know, it is important, and obviously in Congress, I concentrate a lot on healthcare issues, as you would expect, being a pharmacist, and that's why I'm enjoying serving on the Energy and Commerce Committee. One of the reasons why is because that's where the health subcommittee is, and that's where I need to be.
That really frames, I think, for our listeners here, you have the bona fides, as it were, speaking as the healthcare professional in Congress. But how has your time in Congress evolved your perspective on healthcare, and how would you say that has shaped what you do in Congress now? You said you were on a committee. Talk a little more about that, if you could.
Well, you know, first of all, I want to share a quick story with you because, you know, I was a mayor, as I said, and I served in the state legislature. And in both of those, you have the opportunity to really get things done in kind of a quicker way. The wheels run so slow in Washington, D.C. I'll never forget that when I was in the state Senate and this seat became open, I went to then Governor Nathan Deal, who had served 16 years in Congress. And I told him, I said, Governor, I'm not going to be running for reelection in the state Senate. I'm going to run for Congress. And he was very encouraging of me, but he was not encouraging of Congress at all. He sounded like someone who had been up there 16 years. And he told me, he said, you're going to be frustrated. He said, you serve here in the state legislature. You can come here and in 40 days, you can introduce a bill in one chamber, get it out the other, and sign into law and then go home. He said, in Washington, D.C., you can work for years on an amendment and never get it done. And, you know, he was right. It is very frustrating. The wheels move very slow in Washington, D.C., particularly as it relates to health care. Now, having said that, I will tell you that we have had a few instances where that has not been the case, specifically because of the pandemic that we went through. Telehealth is something we'll talk a lot about during this podcast, and because it's such a big issue for me and for the country right now. It's been said that telehealth grew more in 2 weeks than it did in 10 years during the pandemic. And it really became an integral part of our healthcare system. So I, you know, and on one hand, I'll say that it takes a long time to make changes in healthcare. On the other hand, I'll say that the pandemic really helped us to make some good changes rather quickly.
Well, you bring up an excellent point. Legislation takes time. Now, two bills in particular that we wanted to talk to you about are two bills that you've supported, the Lower Cost, More Transparency Act and the Saving Our Students in School Act. From a high level, we don't need to get into the weeds. I don't think our listeners want to get into the weeds as much as I would. What can you tell us about those bills and maybe even the process in getting those for even out there for consideration? How long did that take?
Well, that's a great question, and I appreciate the opportunity to discuss both of these bills, particularly the Lower Cost, More Transparency Act, because what this was really a conglomeration, if you will, of about 27 bills that were passed through the Energy and Commerce Committee that we put all into one act. They're all relevant and all the same subject matter, but instead of taking them individually, we put them all together because they all strive to do the same thing, and that is to lower prescription drug and healthcare costs and to increase transparency. I've always said that, you know, sunlight is the greatest transparent out there, and that's what we have to keep in mind, is that the more transparency we have, because right now in our healthcare system, it is very opaque. And you know, I just got back from the doctor's office a few minutes ago, and, you know, and before I even walk in, they say, oh, you owe $218. I have no idea what that was for. Now I've got to go back and I've got to try to figure out what that was for. And, you know, I'm a healthcare professional. If that happens to me, I can only imagine what it's like for most people, you know, who aren't in the healthcare realm and in the healthcare world. So it really is something that we need to work on, and something that the Lower Cost, More Transparency will help, because whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, or an independent, you all want the same thing in healthcare. You want accessible, affordable, quality healthcare. Whether you're Democrat or Republican, accessible, affordable, quality healthcare. And one way we can make it accessible or make it affordable is through transparency. If we had more transparency, then we would have better healthcare.
Congressman, you've hit on a couple of great points already in terms of telehealth and accessibility and such. What would you say is in terms of your vision for the future of healthcare delivery in the United States? And again, mentioning telehealth and the role that technology plays and other innovation that may follow, how do you see that playing out in terms of healthcare delivery going forward?
I think it's going to be extremely important for a couple of reasons. First of all, you know, we said access and how important access is. Telehealth gives people access to healthcare. We also had a provider shortage in this country. We don't have enough enough primary care providers. We don't have enough psychiatrists. We don't have enough of just about every discipline within the healthcare system. This will give us a chance to be more efficient and to utilize the services that we do have available in a more efficient way. And I think, you know, that's going to be extremely important. It's extremely important. Telehealth is extremely important in rural areas of our country. Now, I acknowledge that there are urban deserts where we don't have access to healthcare, but, you know, the rural areas really do struggle. And that's why telehealth plays such an important role. You know, we say all the time that there are two Georgias, there's Atlanta and everywhere else. Well, we're everywhere else. And, you know, we just don't have the access here in South Georgia that they do up in the Atlanta area.
That's an excellent point. And, you know, you mentioned, for example, telehealth during the pandemic in terms of its growth in just a matter of a couple of weeks and obvious government involvement at that time. What role do you see the government playing in taking healthcare delivery to that next level and hopefully embracing further technological advancement? What role do you see the government playing there?
Two roles. First of all, from a healthcare perspective, you know, the federal government is the highest utilizer of healthcare services in America. Medicare, Medicaid, all of those are funded through the federal government. So, you know, reimbursement is going to be very important. And being able to utilize those services and make them more readily available is going to be very important. Now, also on the Energy and Commerce Committee, I serve on the Communications and Technology Subcommittee as well as the Health Subcommittee. Communications and technology, access to broadband, access to high-speed internet, very, very important. We can't have telehealth unless we have broadband and high-speed internet. That's particularly important in the rural areas, again. So that's why our committee is playing a very pivotal role in all of this.
It certainly feels like a multi-pronged approach. The other bill, the Lower Cost and More Transparency Act, combining multiple ideas that were more or less overlapping. And I think Jason would agree with me. I'm a policy wonk. I love legislation. So there's another bill that's kind of in the same vein, no pun intended, but H.R. 4605 from last fall, the Healthy Moms and Babies Act, as it was called. How does that contribute then towards obviously having healthy moms and babies, right? That's certainly a big issue in America. And, you know, how do you see this bill going to help a problem and maybe help identify what that problem is?
Well, I appreciate you asking about this because I have to be quite honest with you. This is something that has bothered me for years. When I served in the Georgia State Legislature, I could never understand how Georgia could have one of the highest maternal mortality rates in the country. You would think that that would be, and with all due respect, more like some, you know, maybe Mississippi or Alabama or South Carolina, but Georgia, we're... You know, we've got great healthcare services here in this state. So why are we a leader in maternal mortality? And why is the United States a leader worldwide, the most, you know, advanced country in the world? And yet our maternal mortality rate is in some cases double what it is in other countries. And it just has never made sense to me. And I've never been able to get my arms around that. And as much as I study it, I still don't understand it. So that's why we wanted to address it with this legislation. And what it does is we're trying to reduce maternal mortality and trying to understand how can we address this and why is it worse in Black people and brown people than it is in Caucasians. And the CDC tells us that 80% of all maternal mortality could be prevented. Well, if that's the case, you know, why aren't we doing it? And that's what we wanted to address with this bill, and that's what we're trying to do. We're making sure that we're looking at the whole person, looking at, depression and about other things that impact mothers. But at the same time, we need to be studying that. We need to have resources going toward it. Telehealth is another, I interject that here. This is another area where it can be helpful for mothers as well.
Yeah, I think it sounds to me that this is the issue that a lot of people don't even know is an issue. I've talked to other people in the profession. I've kind of casually mentioned that and they go, what? We have one of the highest, certainly the highest amongst the what's considered the first world. So I think this is a really big issue. And so thank you for tackling that. I guess just to dovetail on that a little bit, how ultimately do you see this contributing to the better patient outcomes, particularly in mothers and infants?
I think it will improve and I think it will help. I think that the programs that we're putting in place, I actually met with two ladies here in the Savannah area who have come up with a new app that addresses that. I can't remember what the name of the app was. I wish I could put a plug in for them, but nevertheless, this is a way for them to have mothers to interact with each other and communicate with each other. And, you know, that in itself can help because, you know, they're all sharing in many cases some of the same experiences and some of the same worries, some of the same, challenges.
Kind of keep going down the legislative path there. In January, kind of fast forward now, here we are. It's just the 1st of March, but you've been pretty busy already. In January, you introduced the Emergency Medical Services for Children Reauthorization Act. And so, again, you know, we talk about healthy moms and babies, and now here we are with making sure emergency services are sufficiently provided for children. What can you share about that act that has recently passed?
Well, this is bipartisan, by the way, and let me just say that the Energy and Commerce Committee, I would submit to you that it's the most bipartisan committee in Congress. We really do work together on things. You know, broadband is bipartisan. Everybody needs high-speed internet broadband. Healthcare is bipartisan. As I said earlier, and I think it bears repeating, all of us want the same thing: affordable, accessible, quality health care. I don't care if you're Republican or a Democrat. So this is another example of a bipartisan bill. Kathy Castor, who is a Democrat from Florida, Kim Schreier, who is a Democrat from Washington, a pediatrician also. John Joyce is my other co-sponsor. He's a Republican. He's a dermatologist from Pennsylvania. You know, we all sponsored this because we want to make sure that children get the appropriate health care during a medical emergency that they need. You would think that that goes without saying, or that that goes without legislating, but there are instances where we've actually had the emergency medical services for children. This was an act that it was established in 1984, and it's really the only program that's focused on making sure that emergency care for children and adolescents is available. This is simply a reauthorization of that, but it is extremely important because, as I say, it's really the only act that addresses this to make sure that we've got the medical equipment that children need, the specific medical equipment, the drugs, and all the other things, particularly in the case of emergencies.
Very well said. You've hit on a couple of good pain points that you guys are addressing. What are some other pressing healthcare concerns that Georgians or Americans broadly are facing? Particularly, you know, we've talked about rural communities as well. What other sort of issues there that you see that you and your team are addressing?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I failed to mention in answering one of the other questions about another piece of legislation. I think you were asking about the Saving Lives in Schools Act, and that is very important. You know, we got, as everyone knows, we've got a problem at our southern border. And we got a problem with the illegal immigrants, but we've also got a drug problem, a fentanyl problem. Enough fentanyl coming in this country every day. We are losing 200 people every day as a result of fentanyl poisoning our citizens. Fortunately, there is a drug that, if used quickly enough after ingesting fentanyl, it can reverse the effects of it. It's called naloxone. Now, I led a letter last year to the FDA encouraging them to turn naloxone into over-the-counter where you can buy it without a prescription. Now, I'm often critical of the FDA, as I think they are deserving of us to be critical of them. But in this case, I have to say, I applaud them because they did just that. They made naloxone where you can just walk in the pharmacy now. You don't have to ask the pharmacist or anything. You can buy naloxone. Well, Saving Lives in School Act, what I'm proposing is that naloxone be in every school in America. Everywhere you see a defibrillator, you ought to see naloxone. And it saves lives. And even if we save one life, it'll be worth it. I keep it in my backpack. Everywhere I go, I've got naloxone. Now, thank God I've never had to use it, but I have it. So if I run into a situation where we need it, I'll have it. But it ought to be in every school in America, and that's why I've introduced the Saving Lives in Schools Act. Another thing that I want to mention is, as you would expect, being a pharmacist, you know, one of my primary goals has been to lower drug costs. After all, for over 40 years, I was the one who had to go to the counter and tell the senior citizen how much their medication was and watch them make a decision between buying their medicine and buying their groceries. I was the one who had to go to the counter and tell the mother how much her child's antibiotic was and watch her in tears as she tried to figure out how she was going to pay for it. Well, I set out to do something about that, and that's why we're trying to get more transparency. Remember, we talked about the lower cost, more transparency. We're trying to get more transparency, particularly in the drug pricing chain, because that's very important that we have that transparency in there, particularly when it relates to the middleman, the PBMs, as they're called, pharmacy benefit managers. And I'm very proud that and very happy that after I'd been in Congress for 8.5 years, finally, I'd been since day one asking the FTC to look into the vertical integration that exists in the drug pricing chain. They are finally looking into it. So if whatever their findings may be, I think they're going to be beneficial to us in healthcare.
That's fantastic to hear. So I know we're running up here on our allotted time, Congressman. So certainly thank you for joining us. Two last things that we wanted to talk about quickly. What are any other issues that you wanted to make sure our listeners were aware of? And from your perspective, how would you imagine that our listeners should be contacting their congressmen? You know, many of our listeners aren't in the first district. So I guess speaking on behalf of your colleagues, what's the best way for a Joe citizen to get involved and help advocate certain positions or talk to you?
Well, Aaron, as you know, being a public servant yourself, you depend on that and you need input from people. Look, I always say if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. So you need to be at the table and you need to make your voice heard. You need to make sure your profession is represented. I encourage people all the time, emails, letters, phone calls, whatever it may be. Please, I want to hear from you. I have the honor and privilege of representing the people of the 1st Congressional District of Georgia, and that's a big responsibility, but I need to hear from them. And if you don't get out there and tell your story, it's not going to be told. And that's why it's so vitally important that people be involved. It is a citizen legislature. You know, I'm a pharmacist. We've got new car salesmen, we've got farmers, we've got preachers, we've got way too many lawyers, but, you know, we got just a citizen legislature in Congress. That's why it's important for you to get to know your congressman, to get to know your senator, to get to know and to build up a relationship. And if not necessarily with them, with their staff members. I mean, a lot of times I depend on staff. Obviously, I couldn't do all the things I do if I didn't have a good team behind me, and I've got an excellent team, and you need to make sure they know you and you know them.
Yeah, no, that's certainly excellent advice. And I think our listeners know, if you've listened to a previous episode, I'm on my local city council. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage people to reach out all levels of government. We're here and ready to listen. So Congressman, before we let you go, We have a most pressing question that I'm sure all of our listeners want to know. What is your favorite Pop-Tart and why?
What is my favorite Pop-Tart? Well, that's a good one. I wasn't expecting that one. You know, I'm a chocolate-holic, so I guess anything chocolate, although I don't know that Pop-Tarts necessarily come in chocolate. But if I had to choose one, I'd probably say blueberries. I love blueberries, and blueberry Pop-Tarts are good.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time, Congressman, and being a good sport.
Thank y'all. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Great information and great conversation with Congressman Carter today. We thank you very much for your time, Congressman. We can certainly go on and on with lots of more questions and conversation. So we'll have to do this again sometime. Really appreciate your time and thank you for joining us today. And thank you to our listeners for your time as well. We look forward to our next podcast. Until then, have a great rest of your day.
This has been an episode of Beyond the Stethoscope, Vital Conversations with SHP. If you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to rate and share it with your friends. It sure helps the show.
Production and editing by Nala Weave. Social media by Jeremy Miller.
And our co-hosts are me, Aaron C. Higgins, and Jason Crosby. Our show producers are Mike Scribner and John Crew.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.